This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. October, Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and from Peace at Home Advocacy Center Executive Director Melanie Premer and Aaron Ritchie, a Peace at Home Care Advocate located on the UCC campus. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us, Kyle.
So, Melanie, let's start out with you. How would you define domestic violence?
Yeah, well, domestic violence is defined for us, and there's, you know, the legal definition as well as the definition that agencies like ourselves use. And the way that we define domestic violence is that it's intimate partner violence is the other name that we may use for it. And it's a pattern of behavior where a person in the relationship is trying to gain or maintain some power and control over the other person.
So is it physical, or does that include a lot of other things as well, it sounds like? And I think sometimes people just think of the physical aspect.
Yeah, I think it's common that people think about physical abuse being domestic violence. It's also things like emotional abuse, financial abuse. That's a common type of abuse that we see. Often you may see one or two types of power and control happening in a relationship. So maybe you'll see financial abuse and physical abuse, or financial abuse and psychological abuse. And then we also see folks who are experiencing sexual abuse or sexual violence in their intimate partner relationship as well.
Now, for Peace at Home, and I started to say it wrong this morning, long history with a different name. How long have you had the newer name?
Yeah, well, I'm actually wearing my fancy jacket today that I wore for our name change, which was in February 2020. So thanks for bringing that, Kyle, so people know who we are.
There you go. Well, you've been there how many years?
I have been there a little over 9 years.
Wow. Now, Aaron, how long have you worked with Peace at Home?
I started last year, so I'm at like a year and a half.
And I imagine that it's pretty tough work some days.
It definitely can be. We always emphasize taking care of ourselves at work and at home so we can keep doing the work and showing up.
So, Melanie, are some people victims without even maybe realizing it sometimes? Especially on the non-physical side?
Yeah, I would say that, and that's common. I think that people are maybe experiencing that for lots of different reasons. Maybe things are normalized. Maybe behaviors are minimized, which abusers will often minimize the behavior, and then that might become the realization for the survivor. There's also lots of feelings with shame and guilt. And of course, loving the partner and thinking that maybe it is a way of showing love. There's lots of different things. And often folks may realize that their relationship is abusive or unhealthy because they're talking to a friend or a coworker. Maybe their medical provider may share with them that there's some red flags for them and how to seek help. And it's not uncommon that folks would come into an office and still maybe not realize the extent of the abuse in the relationship, and maybe the danger that they're experiencing in their relationship. I had a woman come in one day, and she said, well, someone at work told me that I should come here and get help. I don't really know why I'm here, but she told me I should come here and you would help me. And I just need to get out of my house. And we do what's called a danger assessment, and it's a validated tool that helps us understand someone's level of danger and then safety plan with them. And as I'm asking some of the questions, one of the questions we ask is about whether you're being forced to have sexual intercourse or if you're being coerced. She said, yes, that's happening in my relationship. And then she showed me under her shirt all these bruises, but she didn't identify that with domestic violence. And so that's not that uncommon for folks to not necessarily use that language or realize that there is an agency and other people in the community there to help.
Erin, do you encounter that sometimes where people don't realize that they are being abused?
Absolutely. I think a lot of times folks don't realize that what's going on, especially if there's not physical violence present, that they think it's just a normal relationship. And then they get to talk to their counselor or whoever is connecting them to us, and they're starting to realize that domestic violence is present. And then we can talk to them about kind of what's going on and how we can help talk them through the dynamics of domestic violence so they can kind of help identify those in the future.
Now, some people grow up in households where, as children, there is physical violence or mental abuse. A lot of different things can take place. People who have gone through that type of upbringing, do they find themselves in sort of denial if they get into an abuse situation in a relationship?
Yeah, I think that can happen. That might be where that normalizing can happen, is they don't have other experiences to relate to, like healthier relationships. We talk about that a lot, that there's adverse childhood experiences, which is different types of trauma that happen with children, and then those things impact them later on in life. We also talk about historical trauma and how generations before us experienced trauma and the epigenetics and how that shows up for people throughout their lifetime as well.
Now, when somebody realizes that they're a victim, maybe like the person you mentioned, what should they do? How do they respond?
Yeah, and it's so interesting to use the word victim too, Kyle, because I think when we watch TV, we think of victim of someone is the person that calls the police or is, you know, interfacing with the judicial system. And for us, I really want people to know that you do not have to have been had police contact or made a report to access our services. And the way in which people can access services is calling our crisis line and talking to someone, maybe processing with us what they're experiencing, and then maybe even just coming into our office and meeting with somebody. But if that's not safe, people should think about safety and how to access us. That often it can be helpful to access us through a counselor or their healthcare provider.
I would imagine sometimes people don't want to call the authorities or even maybe contact your organization if they're familiar with it, because they figure it's going to make a bad situation sort of more in their face.
It potentially can. It can escalate the violence. And there's research that shows that even leaving an abusive relationship can be the most dangerous time for a person.
Now, Erin, you're working at UCC, but obviously with the community college, you've got a wider age group than maybe your traditional public university. Do you find this issue coming up in a lot of different age groups?
Oh, yeah. I work with students and folks in our community, members of all different ages. I think some of the most, the age of folks that we see most often is outside of the traditional college age bracket. That doesn't mean that violence isn't happening in those age brackets of 18 to 24 in that more traditional college age. So that's kind of part of our goals, is to make sure our services are more accessible for folks in those age brackets, especially for me on campus. So I've been doing a lot of outreach and things like that to help encourage folks to reach out for resources in all age groups.
So Melanie, do victims sometimes feel alone, like they really don't know what to do, don't know where to turn, and maybe don't know that anybody else really realizes it?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think one of the tactics that the partner may use is isolating the person. And so cutting them off from friends, family. We've even met with many women where their partner stalks them, follows them to work, makes sure that they're not interacting with folks during their breaks at work. So that's one tactic. I think people feel alone also because maybe we're not talking about it with our friends and family and asking our friends more questions about their relationship and how they feel in their relationship. And then I think that it is difficult to get the word out there that there are agencies like ours that exist. And of course, it can be unsafe to reach out to us. And so that creates that feeling of being alone, right? That, well, I can't reach out to them because it's unsafe to do so. And there's definitely that feeling of helplessness. And how do you get help and support?
More when we come back on Inside Douglas County, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, News Radio 1240, KQEN, Lars Larson coming at 1. And your cue with Shannon Sebastian on the way, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, Democratic candidate for governor Tobias Reed will be on the program. And we're taking a look at Domestic Violence Awareness Month with Peace at Home Advocacy Center Executive Director Melanie Prummer and Aaron Ritchie, who's a care advocate located on the UCC campus. So exactly, Aaron, what is a care advocate?
So it stands for Campus Advocacy Resources and Education. So I get to work with students on campus, along with doing a lot of really fun outreach and support groups with students and staff out there.
And why UCC as opposed to just being, you know, in town, maybe going to UCC?
Yeah, it's really important to focus on our college groups because sometimes our students and our staff can have unique barriers that community members who aren't in school can encounter. Sometimes abusers will specifically be using their schoolwork as a form of power and control, where we don't necessarily always see that in our other groups of people.
And what's your background before you get into Peace at Home?
I was volunteering and interning at similar agencies like Peace at Home up north, and I went to Western Oregon University for social work. So, yeah.
And how do you like it down here?
It's very interesting. I love it down here. It's so pretty. And when I came and visited UCC for a training, that the campus was so gorgeous, I was like, I guess I'll start looking for jobs down here. And here I am. So.
And how long is it that you've been here?
A year and a half.
So you kind of came at a tough time in society.
Yes.
Welcome to dealing with everything else on top of that. So Melanie, let's talk about that aspect, because we touched on that the last time we talked several months ago about as we've gone through different phases of the pandemic and people are already more isolated and all of that. I would think it's exacerbated the whole domestic violence issue.
Well, I think it's been more difficult for people to reach out. That's what we had talked about last time, is that we see a lot of people who may seek us out while their kids are at school, or they may be able to call us or meet with us on their lunch break from work. And if people are at home, that's really hard to do. I think that there is a lot of stressors, of course, that then people's coping skills are diminishing, and so it's harder to reach out for help too if you're having a hard time coping with just the stressors of the pandemic. And I think that one of the things that we're starting to experience as time goes on as well is, how do we also stay healthy emotionally and physically and psychologically as advocates, so that we can be the best people that we can be and provide unconditional, loving services that are trauma-informed while we're also working with through our own stress and trauma.
I remember a point in the past talking to someone I knew who's a mental health professional who had been dealing with a particularly traumatic situation as a professional, and ran into them somewhere in town. They were talking about that, and they said, yeah, I've got to go talk to somebody. And I said, wait a minute, you're the person people come to talk to. And he said, yeah, but I can't just take all of this in. I've got to have an outlet.
We're all human. Yeah, we all have those emotions and those experiences.
And for you guys, what kinds of things do you do to keep yourself healthy mentally?
I think each of us have our own safety plans that help us regulate throughout our day. We also work on our own individual self-care plans. We've actually had some donors donate some money so that we can do some activities that are re-energizing and re-centering. So one of the things that we're working on right now is some strategic planning in small groups, but getting out of the office and doing that together. We're looking at having a Halloween party and how to do that safely, but be able to connect with one another because we've been so separated and we don't get to together process things as a team necessarily. I know for myself, Erin can probably speak for herself. I'm a lavender farmer, and I do that because lavender helps me re-energize and feel renewed, ready for another day, whether it's the smell of it or touching it. It's really powerful for me.
And I imagine being out on a farm away from town, you sort of feel like when you drove out of the city, you left everything behind.
Exactly. Lots of fresh air, and this last week, some great rain, and watching my puppy dogs run. It's great.
Erin, what about you?
I really like doing nails, so I get to do that with my friends. And during the summertime, we really loved going to the river because we're all from the city, so we didn't get to have a river time up there. So that was good self-care, being out in the sun.
And what about during the pandemic, your office is down by the courthouse. I imagine that a lot of you at different points were working in elsewhere.
Yes, some of us are working from home off and on because our services really are about connection with folks, that we have always done in-person services. We have worked on and off having a rotation of staff in the office just to minimize the number of people and practice social distancing and contact with one another. It hasn't really shifted necessarily how we work with people. It's just shifted where we are at different times of the day. So that has been harder for us, is trying to locate each other. But we've used technology to stay in contact, and that's been useful.
Talk about the different roles that advocates have at Peace at Home.
So all of our advocates are very experienced in safety planning, helping people come up with their own safety plan, offer resources and referrals and connections, provide peer support. Many of the advocates that work at Peace at Home have their own lived experience. And while we don't necessarily talk about that, empathy and understanding is there. And then we have advocates that specialize in different areas. So whether that's shelter and housing, or like Erin, working with students and understanding what students experience. We also have advocates that work specifically with law enforcement and DHS. And we have advocates also that work with healthcare providers. Two of our advocates are actually community health workers. And so they're helping survivors navigate the healthcare system, feel connected, be able to better their, not just their situation and creating a safe situation, but also focusing on their wellness, their physical and mental wellness.
About 40 seconds left on Inside Douglas County. If somebody out there suspects of domestic violence is going on in one of their friendships, what should they do?
Feel free to give us our crisis line a call. We're happy to talk with friends and family about kind of how they can safety plan and encourage their friends to reach out to us. And I can give that crisis line. It's 541-673-7867, and it's 24 hours.
And Melanie, what's your website?
It's peaceathome.com.
All right, Domestic Violence Awareness Month, out of time for now. And Melanie Prummer and Erin Ritchie, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks for having us, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.